Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, everybody, welcome in to Pickaxe and Roll, a post-game podcast live here from number 38. Thank you so much to the venue for hosting us today. I'm your host, Ryan Blackburn. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. I'm joined by a very special guest co-host for tonight. He is a host of the MHS radio station here on every weekday, 4 to 6 with Sandy Clough. It is my friend, Sean Drotar. Sean, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good. It's enjoying watching another Nuggets win. That's what, 10 of 11 since the break. They are rolling, and the Miami Heat don't seem to have much they can do about it when you're talking about stopping the Denver Nuggets.
That is correct. It seems like this game has played out several times over several iterations, and we were watching this just kind of lauding the fact that Denver, we've seen this game before with this Nuggets team against this Miami Heat team. We saw it plenty in the finals last year, and this one felt just the same, man. Denver wins the game 100-86, just an absolute barn burner of a score there. Both teams playing super physically, both teams playing great defense, but ultimately one of those teams has Nikola Jokic, one of those teams has great spacing, and the other team is the Miami Heat.
Yeah, and that's really in many ways what it boils down to. So many times this year, we've seen it basically boil down to the fact in basketball, when it's fewer guys, it's not football, it's not a hockey, it's certainly not baseball, there's fewer guys involved. And so when you have the best player at the NBA basketball level, you have a tremendous advantage. And the Denver Nuggets have the best player with regularity. Even when he doesn't have his best game, the attention that it requires for an opposing team to pay attention to Nikola Jokic changes the dynamic for any team trying to defend him. And again, tonight, even though Jokic didn't put up the extraordinary numbers you expect, only 12 points tonight, in the win, he still ended up being the maestro, the guy that dictated the Nuggets, not only the offense, but maybe it's underrated defense.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I think we saw over the course of this game just what Jokic can do on the defensive end as well. But this entire Nuggets team does deserve credit, man. This is very interesting to watch this team kind of lock in as a defensive game plan. That's their bread and butter right now. It's not really even their offense. Their defense is on a different level. And Jokic is at the center of it. He rebounds everything. He defers a whole bunch of shots from Bam Adebayo, who he went 7 of 15 tonight. But the Nuggets will take that every time. Bam Adebayo minus 12 in his minutes that basically mirrored Jokic every single time. And it was just so interesting and fascinating to watch that battle go down. Jokic takes 8 shots tonight. What'd you think of that?
A little surprising. We've seen this from Jokic before, although it's been a while since you've seen him have that kind of game. There are times, and I think the Nuggets are struggling, quite frankly, Ryan, with a little bit of boredom, a little bit of disinterest. And I think Nikola Jokic is reaching a point where occasionally he's trying to entertain essentially himself sometimes with the way he's handling the game. We saw in the early parts of the game a lot of the passing, a lot of the dictating the flow, but at the same time, not doing a lot of the shooting himself. When it came down to it, late in the third quarter, then all of a sudden he got those shots off and got the Nuggets the points when he needed it. But it seems as if Jokic is a little more invested in general with making sure that the rest of the team around him plays well, because he's aware that he can basically get off his shots anytime he wants them.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. But the game plan tonight was not for Jokic to be shooting a whole bunch. It was for him to set the table for everybody else. And I thought Denver kind of went into the trap a little bit that Miami laid for them, where Miami, they packed the paint as much as they possibly could. They doubled Jokic. They tripled Jokic. They did everything they could to get the ball out of his hands. And they honestly defended Jamal Murray pretty well as well. What they didn't do well was stick to Michael Porter Jr., who, you know, he's going to go off. You know, he's going to space the floor. Had a little bit of a brief faux pas in the third quarter, but he was so much better throughout the rest of the game. Finishes with 25 points, 7 rebounds, 9 of 16 from the field, 5 of 9 from 3. That's exactly what you're looking from, yeah, Mike.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about Porter Jr.'s ability to score and space the floor, in many ways, when you look at the Nuggets' attempt to repeat this season, and Porter Jr. is maybe the X factor, right? Because you know that the Murray and Jokic have a deadly two-man game. It is the best in the league. But if you can't cover that tightly because you know that Porter Jr. will hit his shots when he's open, all of a sudden, the Nuggets essentially become indefensible because we know about the passes that can open things up to Aaron Gordon. You can go ahead and move him towards the basket. He and Jokic seem to be on a different level when it comes to those alley-oops or the cuts to the basket. But if Porter Jr. is hitting his shots, if he's spotting up and hitting his shots, it becomes almost really impossible to guard the Nuggets. And especially when you see Kentavious Caldwell-Pope hitting those deep shots tonight, only 1 for 5, but he's been almost 40% this year.
Yeah.
So now when you have Nuggets that can space the floor and hit their shots, you can't focus on that two-man game, which they can run whenever they wanted. The Nuggets tonight didn't even do that all that much, despite running away with this game late with a fourth quarter that shut the Heat down. But it just shows the multiple ways that this team can score on you offensively. And then you bring up the defense, especially the clutch defense late in games, where all of a sudden the Nuggets clamp down. And again, in this one, 17 points for the Heat in the fourth. There's not much you can do. And I think if you're the Miami Heat, you've got to be a little bit frustrated. Give them credit, though, because we've watched the Nuggets go down a significant amount of points to inferior teams in the last couple of games. Not in this case. The Nuggets knew they had to be involved from the get-go because they're fully aware of how scrappy and how tough the Miami Heat play every single night.
Oh, they're tough as nails, man. That's one thing that you really respect about a team where the NBA has really kind of tightened up their rule book a little bit. They have been a little bit more lax in terms of playing defense. You're allowed to be physical. You're allowed to kind of hammer a guy a little bit and not necessarily be like there weren't a lot of touch fouls tonight or anything like that. And that's just how the Heat play, but it's how the Nuggets play too. And the Nuggets, that's how their identity has really evolved over the course of these last few weeks and these last few years, frankly, where they've gotten tougher. Aaron Gordon's brought a layer of toughness. KCP's brought a layer of toughness. You know that Jokic, Murray, and Porter have been through the ringer at this point over the course of plenty of years. And Jokic has already been tough, but Murray's tough as nails. This group is just rock solid. And it's so clear to me that they play the brand of basketball that Miami struggles with the most because they're the one team in the NBA that Miami can't really out. Like, psych.
Yeah, and you can't rough them up. I mean, nobody on the Heat had even more than 2 personal fouls. The leader in the game was Aaron Gordon with 4, with a bit of a physical presence there, and plus 17 on the night, by the way, to lead the Nuggets and actually to lead all players tonight.
It was a chore for Denver to get to 13 free throws tonight, not going to lie.
It was 13, of which they only hit 9. So, you know, you'd like to see them hit a little bit more. That is, again, more of an Aaron Gordon thing, hitting 3 of 6. But that's nothing to be concerned about at this point. Certainly in the playoffs when things get tighter, you want to hit your free throws a little bit better. But you didn't put the Heat at the line all that often either. The Heat shot it very well, 15 for 18.
Right.
But 18 total free throw attempts. Look, there were only 26 fouls called in this game in total for a Miami Heat team that is usually physical.
They were going to war tonight. Like, that's just the thing about this, man. Like, they go to war.
It's just not a team that it's easy to rough up.
Yeah.
And the Nuggets have some physicality, but they don't really play that style of game. They're more than happy to space you out and just eventually slice and dice you to death.
And that third quarter where Miami gets themselves back into the game, I think that was, like I said earlier, kind of Denver falling into that trap where they were attacking the rim in the first half, but not necessarily doing as well in the second half or until they got to the fourth quarter where you see the bench kind of take over a little bit. You see Jamal Murray getting to where he needs to go. Peyton Watson has a dunk down Main Street. Christian Brown, Aaron Gordon playing tough. It was nice to see Denver's bench get to it, but we should probably, like, let's save that for a little bit. I want to get to Reggie Jackson.
Okay.
Reggie Jackson. Surprising little close for Reggie Jackson here. He closes the game over KCP, but it was over Jamal Murray initially because Christian Brown was also out there too. Reggie Jackson closes and Jamal doesn't come back in until the final 2 minutes when they just needed an extra ball handler on the floor. How about Reggie Jackson hitting 3 buckets in a row, including a big, big 3 that took a Denver lead from 7-10, basically iced this game.
Yeah, obviously we know that Reggie can go get his shot. We know that when he is hot, he can be dangerous, but that's really valuable because Jamal Murray, 31 minutes tonight among the starters, the second lowest, only KCP had fewer minutes. And over the last couple of games, Murray's had the most minutes when you look at them combined. And you don't want Jamal Murray to play too often. Jokic is one thing. You don't love playing those guys more minutes than it's necessary. But in Murray's case, you're talking about a guy that's got an injury history of some significance. And we know that he's playing through the shin splints. So every single minute that he's off the floor and you are not losing ground is something that you're gaining in the long term. When you're talking about a long playoff run, when you're talking about trying to win again, every chance you can keep Jamal Murray off the floor and still find yourself in plus territory with wins is a tremendous win for the Denver Nuggets. And tonight, Reggie Jackson did that. It's been a bit of a wobbly last couple weeks for Reggie in a lot of ways. And so to see him kind of get right again, I think really helps because the Nuggets bench is starting to round into form. And just like last year's bench, even though different people, Bruce Brown, Jeff Green, you're starting to see it round into form at roughly the same time. Everyone thinks of the Nuggets bench when they won the championship as the bench they had all year. That wasn't the case. It was a work in progress until rather late in the season too.
Right. I don't want to overstate it because Reggie did just finish with 9 points on 9 shots. It's not like he had this amazing game, but it was the timing of it that really mattered for Denver, where Murray goes off the floor, taking a little bit of a break. Denver needs somebody who can take some pressure off of Jokic and off the dribble in those situations. And he did a great job of stepping up when he needed to. So credit to him. I need to see it a little bit more. It's not like this is going to be what happens every single night. And I hope that he continues to do that. But Denver's at a different level when they can get another like solid performance from Reggie Jackson, because it's just not something you expect on a nightly basis. And if the other team is thinking, oh man, now Reggie Jackson's killing us, then that's they can just basically shake their heads.
The primary ball handler part's a big thing of that as well. You know, you're playing on the Nuggets with a team that has a unicorn as your primary ball handler, the 6'11" fella in the middle. That changes all the dynamics. But otherwise, it has let the Nuggets get away with fewer actual ball handlers from the traditional NBA sense. You have Jamal Murray, and then you have Jackson coming off the bench. But nobody else on the roster is really that kind of player.
Right.
You don't have a Bruce Brown like you did last year who can actually, in a pinch, basically play as a point guard. So you need Reggie Jackson to be able to be effective. To be effective, yeah, he's more of an offensively minded point guard, so he does need to score a bit. But you need to have him be out there because Christian Brown does what he does. Peyton Watson does what he does. You're seeing some combination of Justin Holiday and Zeke Nnaji, depending on matchups. But none of those guys are ball handlers. Yeah. Everyone can do it to an extent, but the Nuggets really only have two guards that can handle the ball. So Reggie Jackson's importance in the Nuggets run is going to be very significant. And you have to make sure that you're getting good play from him at the right time. And over the last few weeks, you really haven't. So even though it wasn't a tremendous game tonight, what you saw, I think, from the shots was more confidence, more comfort level. I don't think he took a lot of shots that were forced. They were within the flow of the game. So I think they'll start to fall as things go along. So getting that confidence back is really important, because for the Nuggets now, that's one of the things that I think teams will pick on and look at that and say, look, when Murray and Jokic are off the floor, who's their ball handler? And if it's Reggie Jackson, he's not having a good night, the Nuggets can be vulnerable.
Last year was Bruce Brown, and Bruce did a mostly good job in those situations of getting downhill, especially in the playoffs, making sure to set the table, not turn the ball over. But it was still a little bit shaky last year too. So it's not my most glaring concern, but I will say, like, Reggie's going to have to play. Jamal can't play all 48 minutes, and they're going to need some other ball handler minutes, as you mentioned. So will be interesting to track throughout the rest of the regular season and the playoffs. How about Aaron Gordon? Aaron Gordon playing very physical tonight, and I thought it was a beast for the most part.
Yeah, I like the way he played, especially bouncing back from the performance against the Raptors. I know the Nuggets won that, but I wasn't super impressed with the way Gordon has played of late. I think when you talk about players who have been sort of disinterested in many ways, I think Gordon's been one of the guys that looked like it. Against Toronto, he looked sharp, obviously 8-for-9. Tonight, 6-for-11. But against Utah, looked a little bit passive. You know, it looked against some of these games of late where the Nuggets have found themselves in a bad spot. Gordon's been one of those guys that I think it's been hard for him to get going. And maybe it is because he's a physical player. And when you have teams that aren't really going to be physical or not going to mix things up, it's been a little hard for him to get engaged. But you need him to be engaged in all of these games and add that physicality, because you don't want anybody necessarily taking liberties with any of the other guys on the Nuggets. So Gordon's a big part of this too. Everything for the Nuggets works together. And you have done this, made this very clear over the years with the podcast. You've done that when you've been a guest on my show, making it clear that what the Nuggets do very well and why they have the best starting five in the NBA is because everybody has a role.
Yeah.
When everyone's doing it, they're extraordinary. But when one of the players is off, they can get a little unbalanced. And then you can see situations where Jokic maybe doesn't shoot as much as he'd like to, or Murray shoots a little bit too much. It's a team that has to have everybody rolling all at once. Not they have to be at their best, but they have to be doing their jobs and focused on it to make sure that the starting five all function together.
They only scored 100 points tonight, so credit to the Heat for kind of getting them out of their stuff a little bit. But it was still good of Denver to recover in that situation. And you mix and match different guys within their rotation, and you mostly get good results from that. But the real story, obviously, is still the defense with 88 points allowed. It's just so rare to see that in the NBA today, but it's become less rare over the course of these last few weeks.
Nuggets just allow 110 per game on the season.
Yeah.
That's second best in the West. 110. Tonight they got it down to 88 against a team that was in the finals last year.
That's insane.
Yeah, in their barn. So that's an impressive performance. They hold the Heat. The Nuggets did not have their best shooting night. We talked about the threes a little bit, especially in the third quarter, as the Nuggets were just bombing away from three and they weren't hitting. But remember, they held Miami in this game to 42.5% of the field and an abysmal 23.8%. And it would have been worse if Bam Adebayo didn't somehow hit one of his two or so hits.
Imagine that. I thought that Denver was going to lose from that moment on because, I mean, hey, like when Bam Adebayo's hitting threes on you, he shoots 7% from three on the year. That's crazy. So everybody in the chat, thank you for tuning in. Let us know if you have any questions. Thank you, everybody here at number 38 for sticking around, everybody. Let's...
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Move over now to the Nuggets just took over first in the West.
All by themselves.
It's been a little bit of time since they've been at the top spot, but I look at the standings now and I'm pretty excited if you're a Nuggets fan.
Yep.
This is going to be a wild race between them and the OKC Thunder and even the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are just one game back. I am very curious to see how this thing is going to go, but Denver's now 10-1 post All-Star break. They seem to not be stoppable.
Well, and the funny thing is it goes back further than that. I went and looked during the game here since February 1st in the Western Conference. The Nuggets are 13-4. It's a .765 winning percentage. The next best team is New Orleans. It's
wow.
Been 12-4 during that span and why they've rocketed up and now they're on the tail of the Clippers.
Interesting.
Following that, the Lakers and Oklahoma City tied at 12-5, 7-6. Golden State 14-6. And then the one team behind them, even though there's a big drop off, .700 winning percentage for Golden State during that span. Minnesota 11-7. I don't think Minnesota is going to be able to hang. Now, I think that's because of the loss of Karl Anthony Towns to injury, but I don't think Minnesota is going to be able to hang with Denver and OKC. And in the end, the challenge here is the Nuggets are the champs. They take over first for the first time in, I think, since first 3 weeks of the season.
Yeah, it's
the
been
Thunder
a little bit.
Are looking up to the Nuggets. When you're a team that hasn't gotten to where the Nuggets have gotten, now you're looking up at the champs. Now you're looking up at the team that had the number one seed, and the pressure is different. You are no longer, even if it's a half game, and Oklahoma City hosts Dallas tomorrow. That'll be one of the big national games. But now you're the pursuer, and that's a very different mindset. And when you're pursuing a team that already has accomplished things that you can't, it makes it much more difficult. I think Minnesota drops off. I think this is a two-team race. I think it's the Thunder and the Nuggets for the top seed.
Thunder have a pretty tough schedule for the rest of the time. They just lost to Indiana in their last game. I'm not sure how they're doing. right now. I'm pretty sure that they're playing tonight. No, they're playing tomorrow. So it will be interesting to track that race over the course of these next few weeks. But how important do you think it is that Denver gets the one seed? Because I think Anthony in our YouTube comments here says, doesn't matter if we are first place or fourth place in our conference, we're going back to back.
Well, it matters. And I get where Anthony's at. And I think that the Nuggets, as long as they do get maybe a home court in the first round, I think you feel comfortable. But again, this is where that mindset comes across. You're the champs. You're the defending champs.
Yeah.
You're about to have the MVP for a third time now. And you have to come to Denver where you're at altitude. That's always best with people's heads. Where you're going to play the Joker and the Nuggets. I do think the top seed, you don't need it.
Yeah.
But it definitely smooths the runway for the Nuggets. And I think there's a lot of value to getting it. And I think Nikola Jokic has stated essentially as much.
My thing with it is that it simplifies everything. Is that it's one of those things where you get to look back at it as, hey, last year was exactly the same way. You had the one seed. Doesn't matter that you won it in early March last year, which they basically did, or if it goes down to the final week of the season. As long as Denver's not going out of their way and are being like less healthy and gearing up less for the playoffs this time around in order to get it, I think it's fine if they go for the one seed. What are they going to do? Are they just going to like sit back and have a pina colada on the bench for the rest of the final week of the season if they don't?
So I'm talking about the schedule. Look, the Nuggets have the 25th hardest remaining schedule.
It's pretty easy.
In the West,
it's
the easiest.
Yeah.
Now, of course, that's because they don't have to play the Denver Nuggets.
But
the Nuggets have the easiest schedule in the West of all the teams remaining. Phoenix has the second hardest in the entire NBA. When you look at the rest of their contenders here, Oklahoma City is ninth with the winning percentage against them of 5-12 for the remainder of their 17 games. The Clippers at 500 as well. So it's a vastly more complicated schedule for Oklahoma City. Denver at 472. And again, that's where the mindset changes, right? Now you're thinking you're Oklahoma City, you have a harder schedule. You have to take on the champs. You have to chase down the champs, even if they can tie them tomorrow night. The more the Nuggets can start to pile up wins, the more it affects the teams pursuing them because they're the hunted. And for the hunters, it's always a little harder.
I think Denver's a little bit more comfortable with that, too. It just feels that way, that after over the course of the season, they've kind of faded into the shadows a little bit because they were out of the first seed and because Boston's taken on so much stress from that over the course of the season. But I'm curious, because Denver won that Boston game, because they've been going on this run on national TV over the course of these last couple weeks, basically winning every game they play outside of the Phoenix one, they're back to being the hunted, and I think they're comfortable with it. I think they're comfortable with exactly who they are, exactly like where they've been, and I see this team pushing deep in the playoffs again, man. It's going to be pretty simple as
well,
that.
Well, I mean, you don't take any of it for granted. And every time you do this, you have to give the caveat that, they need to be healthy. Like every contender, you need to have a little luck and you need to be healthy.
Yeah.
But if the Nuggets are at full strength, is there a team right now that you look at that you think would beat them in seven? And right now, I don't see any of them. I like what Oklahoma City's doing. I don't think they have the experience. I don't think they're as battle-tested, and I don't think they'll do it. Minnesota, if they don't have Anthony Towns, I think that's obviously a challenging situation for them as well. But also, these teams played last year in the playoffs, and Minnesota was more or less healthy, and they weren't able to hang with Denver. The Clippers, I think, were they completely healthy? Maybe that's an interesting matchup if Kawhi Leonard is healthy. Leonard, of course, tweaked the back again in their last game. The Pelicans, I guess, are intriguing, but do you really think the Pelicans are going to beat the Nuggets 4 out of 7 times? People look at the Suns, they look at the Warriors, and they look at the Lakers because they have stars, right?
I don't think about
those
teams
stars.
That much.
Yep. The Nuggets don't think about the Lakers anymore because the Lakers are a speed bump along the way for the Nuggets. It's been a while since they've been a threat.
It's actually Anthony Davis's nickname facing Nikola Jokic.
Well, he doesn't face Nikola Jokic.
He plays off Nikola Jokic.
He won't
Rui
take him on one-on-one.
Excuse me.
So, you look at the Phoenix Suns, and maybe if they were totally healthy, but again, that's a group that doesn't stay totally healthy. And if they are, who's going to do the defensive side? So at this point, the only team that really can keep the Nuggets, I think, from getting to the conference finals is the Nuggets.
I think that's true. I think that when Denver's as locked in as they've been, they've shown that they're unbeatable. They've shown that they can get to that level where as long as they care, as long as they're engaged, and as long as they're locked in, they're going to provide that next level that none of these other teams can really match.
You have to beat them 4 out of 7 times. I mean, you're going to get them every once in a while. I get that. You're going to have them have a bad game. You're going to have them make a couple mistakes. Somebody else on the opposition is going to have a good shooting night. These things happen. That's sports. But to have the Nuggets lose 4 out of 7 against anybody in the West, I just don't see it. In fact, quite frankly, the only teams that I do see as the actual threat, I suppose, are the Celtics and maybe the Bucks. And that's with all due respect to the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have been having a really, really good season. But I think their only real threats are on the other side. And we've seen them beat Boston twice already.
I'm also not that worried about Milwaukee either. Like, Denver's going to be okay with that. That'll be very interesting. But let's wrap up here with the MVP. Let's wrap up with Nikola Jokic, who so much of the conversation surrounding the Nuggets is obviously built on having the most unstoppable player in the NBA. The guy who has a solve for everything. It looks like he's well on his way to a third MVP award. Should be fourth straight.
Should be.
And but he keeps surprising me, man. Like, even he took 8 shots tonight, but it was the right call. It was the right call based off of the game plan. Still a plus 10. Denver did everything that they needed to do. It was about spacing the floor around the middle and Jokic taking all the attention away and playing great defense to boot. What's your take on Joker right now and just where he's at heading into the final stretch?
Well, the MVP competition is over. I mean, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the next closest in Vegas, and he's a plus 370. Nikola Jokic is a minus 270.
Interesting.
It's over. And I think there's an argument to be made for Gilgeous-Alexander, a very good one, as a matter of fact.
Been very good.
And it's not even close. So the ability to dictate a game, to dictate pace, I've said this before, Nikola Jokic must get onto an NBA court, and it looks to him like it did, the Matrix did to Keanu Reeves. He sees the code. He knows how to manipulate it. He understands how to make all of those changes in a ways that very few players before him ever have. And that's why he's going to win his third MVP. The list of people who have won 3 or more MVPs is very short, and they belong to Hall of Famers, all of them. And Nikola Jokic, I think, has proven to be that guy. As you pointed out, he's on his way to the third. It could have been the fourth. This is the Nikola Jokic era of NBA basketball. And if you really want to talk about Jokic's impact, go watch college basketball today. Go watch high school basketball today.
Interesting.
Now that it's championship week, watch those teams. Watch the teams in the March Madness tournament. Watch the way bigs are playing. He is evolving the game in real time. And we're watching it now in players who have been trying to mimic him for 4, 5, even almost 6 years at this point. The game of basketball will be different when Nikola Jokic retires than it was when he started. And that's about as strong a statement as you can make about a player.
That's such a fascinating take, because you think about Steph Curry, you think about Kobe Bryant, you think about LeBron a little bit, you think about Michael Jordan in terms of the guys who sort of defined the next style of play. The next wave of players that really entered the NBA, entered even college and high school sports. And that's just how those guys are going to be wired.
The expectation of a center, of a big, is different now.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, he can make the outlet pass here and there. Or it's not, oh, he can kick it out here and there. That's the expectation.
If you can't do that now,
well, NBA teams don't want you. They're not even interested. That's the bare minimum, and that's the Jokic effect.
Finding the back cuts. Finding the DHOs, those are staples in the NBA today. And it's because every big can do it now. But Jokic continues to push the envelope. He's running pick and rolls. He's in the post, just diming people up. He's throwing the ball full court, as everybody knows. It's so fascinating to watch. But you said something that I wanted to kind of circle back to. Defining, like, it's the Nikola Jokic era.
Yes, it is.
And that's just wild for me to think about, because it's true. It's absolutely true. Giannis hasn't controlled as much of that over the course of these last 5 years, even though I think a lot of people thought it would be. LeBron, I think he's still, like, obviously still the face of the NBA in a lot of ways. Steph Curry's still the face of the NBA in a lot of ways. But Jokic is really what the beating heart is over the course of these next 5 years or so. And I'm just so fascinated to see where it goes, because nothing's stopping him right now if he wants to. Like, if he wants to get to where he wants to go. And, like, Bam Adebayo played a great, like, a grade A defensive game tonight.
As he usually does.
He's
one of the best defenders on Jokic that there is.
He's probably the best defender in the NBA, if I had to pick one. But it didn't matter, because Jokic found a way to win without taking 8 shots.
That's sort of the tau of Jokic, and the thing that you forget about on top of that is how good he has become defensively. If you start looking at the way that the advanced analytics take a look at it, you look at the defensive box plus minus, you look at defensive win shares, Jokic is at the top or near the top in all of those categories. He has changed the way teams play against him. The assumption was he's not a good defender, you can get around him. Well, he's become a good defender.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't do it by blocking shots left and right, but he does it by positioning. He does it by using his frame. He does it by altering the geometry on the court and not allowing teams to do what they want to do with the ball. And all of that is truly remarkable. I think we are talking about, and I've covered sports in Colorado for a very long time, and I am not sure that I have ever seen, and there have been some greats. You think about Joe Sakic. You think about Peter Forsberg, Todd Helton now in the Hall of Fame, Larry Walker in the Hall of Fame, Peyton Manning, John Elway. Manning and Elway specifically are the only two players that I can even consider, with the exception of possibly Forsberg, with the overall ability to alter a game at will. Jokic is one of the singular athletes that has ever played in this town, and I would not be surprised if by the end of his career, he's the best.
Whoo, that is a high bar to clear, but I mean, he's capable of it. Anybody that's watching him, anybody that's seen what he can do, especially over the course of these last 3 or 4 years, just knows and understands where he's at with his career and just what he can continue to do. Final thoughts here from Nuggets Heat. What do you think? Did this game mean anything other than Denver can tough it out?
Taking care of business. You want to go ahead. You had an opportunity to take over first place all by yourself, even if it may only be for a day. You want to start getting that. You want to start turning on that playoff switch. There are, you know, less than 18 games left in the regular season. You want to start taking control of your opportunities. They did that tonight. Took them a little while to get it going, as we've seen in the last part of these last few games. They've got to get out of their own heads a little bit and get out of their own comfort zone. I think Miami's a good foil to do that. So I like the game. I like the way that they stuck with it. They didn't really fall out of their game all that often. And now they have sort of an oddball schedule where there's some home and away, some kind of odd travel. So I think you want to bank those wins. You don't want to take them for granted. And you might not want to take them for granted because the next one on Friday, even though it looks like an easy one.
Can I just take some credit for this one?
Let me throw that alley-oop right up to you, Ryan, because I agree with you. Yeah. I think Friday is a danger.
So Denver's in the midst of a four-game road trip right now. They just won their first one against Miami. The next one is Friday against the San Antonio Spurs. It is a dangerous game. Let me just say to everybody straightforward here, like the OKC Thunder lost last month, I think, to San Antonio. All these teams are going to take San Antonio and others like it for granted. But San Antonio has Victor Wembanyama. And anytime you got a guy like that, you have a chance.
And so, remember, they'll be playing it in Austin because San Antonio's on its rodeo trip.
So it's abnormal.
Right. So also everything is out of the ordinary, too. Which I think is the way you look for quote-unquote trap games, right?
I firmly agree. So we'll see how they handle it at San Antonio. Then they go at Dallas. Then they go at Minnesota to wrap up their road trip. I'm curious to see how they handle it. All three of those games will be tough in their own individual ways. That Dallas game is an afternoon matinee ABC game, I believe. Mm-hmm. Should be very fascinating to see how they handle it. But everybody in the comments and everybody here, let us know what you think about where the Nuggets are at. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. If you're on YouTube or if you're on Twitter, please hit that like button, hit the subscribe button as well for all of the great content that we do here at Mile High Sports. Sean, any parting thoughts?
This is just going to be an awfully, awfully fun run. I mean, it seems not that long ago that we were coming to grips with the idea that the Denver Nuggets might actually be the NBA champions. And now we're having to make arguments as to why they shouldn't repeat. That is through the looking glass for someone who was born and raised in Colorado like me.
Pretty cool to see. He is Sean Drotar. Make sure to catch him every Monday through Friday at 4 to 6 p.m. on Mile High Sports Radio. You can follow all of my work at Pickaxe and Roll on the Mile High Sports YouTube channel and all of the great content that we do with myself and Swipa as well. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We really appreciate all the love and support. We are out from number 38. Thank you so much for hosting us.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.